Welcome to Trade Finance Talks, a podcast from Trade Finance Global. During this series, we'll be hearing from global experts, as well as learning about the latest trends, technology, and insights in the world of international trade and receivables finance. Episode 2.
My name's Dipesh Patel, editor at TFG. Complementing the digitalization of trade finance is blockchain technology, which can greatly simplify the direct transfer of trade assets while increasing confidence in their provenance. This is achieved through providing unique, non-forgeable identities for assets, along with an immutable record of their ownership. The result is an opportunity for additional financing services based on the trade of physical goods and services, an example of which is WeTrade, who we have here with us today. With that in mind, Trade Finance Global have partnered with BCR at their blockchain consortia, which will be held in London this May. Consortia 2019 is the very first international banking conference, bringing together pioneering bank consortiums to present their initiatives through case studies, live demos, and panel discussions. I recently spoke with WeTrade COO, Roberta Manconi, and Business Development Manager Daniela Narnarella at WeTrade.
Thank you so much for joining me here today. Great to have you on board. If you could briefly summarize WeTrade in terms of how the company is changing the face of trade and receivables finance, that would be great. Roberto, over to you.
Hi, my name is Roberto Manconi, Chief Operating Officer of WeTrade. WeTrade is an innovative platform owned by 12 European banks. It's a trade platform allowing importers and exporters that register through the banks to create a user-friendly front-end, create recourse smart contracts based on which, subject to automated verification of certain events that they have established, they can trigger automatically conditional payments or requests of financing or requesting a guarantee fulfilling the completion of the trust among the parties.
Thank you very much, Roberto. So, Daniela, over to you now. What are your thoughts on distributed ledger technology, blockchain, as a disruptor to trade finance?
Yeah, well, linking up to what Roberto just said, obviously, from our own perspective and from a personal perspective, blockchain is a game changer. It's a new technology that is just the beginning, but probably advanced enough for us to leverage and build on top of it. It certainly fits well in the trade finance industry because it's obviously an industry that hasn't really been upgraded in a very long time, very paper-based, very bespoke. And what this new technology really offers is not only the possibility to digitize the trade finance world, but to change completely the business case and change the way that the parties transact. So really creating new business model and opening up new business models for both our banking partners and to their customers that they will bring onto our platform.
Thank you very much. So look, new business models and also fitting in with the rather complex systems that already exist within many liquidity providers and banks. Let's get into the technical and more details on this. Roberto, one for you. How is WeTrade actually utilizing blockchain technologies? And how is this making a difference to others within the ecosystem?
Well, WeTrade is using, first of all, as an enterprise stack, the Hyperledger Fabric underlying technology. And as a blockchain as a service provider, we're using IBM. We went through a selection of technology providers and technology stacks. The decision was taken in the beginning of mid-2017. We wanted to go through Hyperledger Fabric or if we wanted to choose Corda. The decision was Hyperledger because in our vision as WeTrade, we wanted to have a platform that could be really able to create an open ecosystem going forward. So in this respect, we did not want to have a technology which was much more only financially driven, but could also open up to lots of applications which are being developed by potential future stakeholders, being logistic companies, accounting firms, or insurance companies. And therefore, we thought that Hyperledger was the right choice. So we are developing, we have developed the platform. The platform is live, it's in production, together with IBM. And we chose IBM for two reasons. One, because, of course, we were satisfied with the capability of resources that they could put on the ground in order to achieve what we wanted to, which is building the platform in less than 1.5 years. But also the model that we have is a software services license model to the banks, which means WeTrade is a legal entity, license the solutions to the banks, which in turn can make it available to their clients. And in this respect, we have to make sure that the software service solutions fulfills completely all the regulatory requirements of the banks. And we want to make sure to have a technological partner that knows exactly what these requirements are and had broad shoulders to handle the stringent requirements that, of course, the banks normally impose.
Thank you very much. So just going into a little bit more detail on that, and obviously a decision to choose Hyperledger versus Corda is a fairly big decision, and we see the other big player in the ecosystem, Marco Polo, using Corda technology. And I guess that leads me on to my next question. What are your thoughts on the different blockchain consortia such as TradeLens, Marco Polo? How can they coexist, or can they coexist at all? Or will they converge onto a single platform?
That's an interesting question. Maybe I start, and then if you want, of course, feel free to add, right? I think in the last 1.5 years, we have seen tremendous development of proof of concepts. But I would say we have seen different stages. I call 2017 was the year of proof of concept, right? In 2018, we have seen some real production environments similar to ours. Other consortia are still in the proof of concept model, so they were not able to complete the production environment. So the consortia, no doubt, have several benefits, right? They have the benefits of sharing the cost, sharing the risk, sharing the knowledge, and of course, sharing the investment, and creating also a common understanding, a common platform. But in the long run, we have seen that, of course, these benefits of the consortia create also some sort of a complexity, because when the consortia become very wide, they need to ramp up. And then at one point, you need to identify a potential winner. We have seen in our case, also in 2018, as you probably know, WeTrade and Batavia, they were two consortia, more or less going head-to-head, the same kind of technology. And then in the end, three banks of the Batavia consortium decide to abandon Batavia and join WeTrade. So I'm sure there will be more and more a consolidation going forward. I will not talk about interoperability at the moment. I think that it's right that there should be competition among platforms, even competing in the same area and developing alternative solutions. We'll see if at one point, of course, there will be a return on investments, because, of course, all the stakeholders of different platforms are investing considerable amount of money in this platform. And then once you have return on investments, scaling needs, then inevitably you will see that 2020, 2021 will be the year where some of the leaders will be identified. But again, this is my position interpretation.
Thank you very much. Daniela, do you have any additional points or thoughts on this?
I mean, obviously, I think as Roberto already alluded to, there has been already some consolidation, and WeTrade with the addition of formerly Batavia Bank is a proof of that. I think, and this is my personal view, there is space for two or three different platforms to coexist. And you can already start seeing that there's some clusters that are forming around a few different technologies or platforms or fabrics, if you want. One being obviously Hyperledger Fabric with WeTrade, and there's others that are across logistics with TradeLens, etc. You obviously mentioned R3 and Corda. There's probably still space for some other activity to develop around Ethereum. You've seen others coming up in that space. Probably there's not too much space for too many within the same technology cluster, if you want. I personally think that there will be, at some point, an interoperability within the industry. But as Roberto said, this is really the phase of investing, push on to the competition, see how the differences between the different technologies at the back of it can develop. And then once you have two, three, four potentially established platforms and established groups, then maybe you can start talking about interoperability. But we're probably 2 or 3 years away, I guess, at this stage.
I can add, Mark, just I don't know if this is linked or not, but in addition to this, I think it's important also to consider, I'm sure you have some statistics, but I was reading several reports lately and I was pretty impressed also by the speed, by the amount of investment which are poured into blockchain in different sectors, not only in the financial sector, obviously. But I think this is symptomatic of a clear investment, a clear trust in this technology, as we said at the beginning of the chat, that could change also business models, right? There was a recently a Deloitte survey, for example, 1,000 C-level executives, 85% of them, they were expecting to invest from at least 1 to 10 million in one user case in 2019. The IDC Institute just read recently that they indicated that in the last year alone, 2018, almost 2.1 billion has been spent on blockchain technology. So, and if you put together what Daniele was saying, you know, in the manufacturing industry, in the logistic industry with TradeLens, in the food industry with Food Trust, so you have behind big names, you have big banks, you have big Fortune 500 companies that are investing heavily. And that means that, of course, this will speed more and more the reliability, the strength of the solution, but on the other hand, also will develop more and more applications that can make the difference. So that ultimately people, I think, in a few years, in less than a couple of years, probably people will not even talk about blockchain anymore, but will talk about the applications that can make a difference, right? It's like today, nobody talks about the internet. Everybody talks about the applications which are running through the internet. And I think this is going at an enormous speed.
Thank you very much. That's a very interesting analogy and way of putting it across. However, just from the perspective of competition, and I know we're not mentioning or talking about interoperability here, do you not think that there is still the need for some form of standardization or uniform rules? We've seen huge sweeping successes in many other industries around credit insurance, ICC, uniform customs rules, etc. Do you not see the need for this within this specific niche?
I think standardization is obviously slightly different than interoperability. It's obviously a precursor to that. In fact, there are already a few initial conversations, initiatives within our groups to start potentially try and set on some kind of common standards. Obviously, WeTrade works together with the ICC. We're in constant collaboration. And you can imagine if you look at the group of banks that form part of WeTrade, that they are obviously some of the most plugged in this industry. So certainly there is a need to do that. Obviously, in order to have something meaningful, you need to have enough substance on the platforms before you can start talking about building standards. And that's the direction that WeTrade has been going on. We want to make sure that we have significant volumes on our platform. And then on top of that, you can obviously build those efforts that we were mentioning.
Great. Thank you. That makes sense. So what are the main challenges, and Roberto, perhaps one for you, what are the main challenges that need to be overcome in order to effectively enable blockchain utilization and support its full adoption within the trade finance space?
The main challenge, like in any technology or any new industry, you say, is the change management, right? So the capability to convince any stakeholder on how to leverage the potential of a technology, how the potential to leverage a smart contract and distributed ledger in this case, and how to define a new customer experience that satisfied the new business model instead of replicating the existing operating models. So for sure, that is one of the main challenges. I think that there is a strong knowledge by executives of large corporations. They are willing, of course, to foster that. On the other hand, of course, small, medium enterprises do not have the capacity, the strength, the resources to dedicate and to increase the knowledge of this technology. So I guess that shifts the burden and the responsibility to big companies or big players like ourselves to create solutions that then the majority of the small and medium enterprises can enjoy without developing the capacity. The other challenge is the resources, right? As we mentioned before, if you consider that there are a lot of big projects driven by big companies, you can imagine that requires an enormous amount of resources scattered throughout the world. And one of the main issues that we have right now, challenges, is the lack of sufficient number of resources with skills and capability to develop solutions. So we're reaching a point where the demand in the market is higher than the offer. That obviously increases the cost of people with expertise, but at the same time also increases the competition in order to ensure resources in order to develop a solution in a fast manner. So these are probably the two major challenges that I see. One from the executive management awareness of the potentials of the technology. The other is the availability of resources to allow parallel developments in different industries.
Very, very interesting. Yes, completely agree. The CapEx investment that a lot of corporates and banks are investing into these solutions will be continuing for several years before they demonstrate some form of ROI. And of course, these need to be managed alongside a significantly large knowledge gap and lack of skills and expertise in this area to really make a difference and drive change. However, change is happening and concepts are now moving from proof of concept to real-time, real initiatives. And I think just yesterday, UniCredit announced its first Italian transaction via the blockchain, via your trading platform, through the creation of the smart contract on WeTrade. Payment will be automatically triggered according to the agreed terms once buyer. Could you go into any more detail on this transaction and I guess what's next for WeTrade and UniCredit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, without getting into the actual details of the transaction, this is basically kind of reiterating the fact that as we've always been externalizing, WeTrade has a focus on live production environment. We've well past the prototype POC phases, and obviously, UniCredit being one amongst the first, there's obviously more within our platform. We're really trying to do real life transactions, and this is just really the first step. What comes next is obviously, hopefully, the customers that use the platform see the value within it and will start doing their day-to-day business on the platform. Obviously, you only do announcement on the first, but so what's even more important for us is to have a second, a third, a fourth transaction. And what's interesting in this particular case is that the plan between UniCredit and its partner is to have a recurring transaction between their customers on a weekly or bi-weekly basis so that WeTrade actually gets used not only to test the technology in a live environment, but becomes part of the day-to-day activity of our customers and their banking partners. And this is obviously crucially important to link up to what Roberto said earlier, moving on to the next step of adoption of this technology. And obviously, we're very excited and very proud of this.
Thank you very much, Daniela. And I guess you're completely right. The more you can test and demonstrate live transactions, the better the product becomes and the more refinements can be made to really ease that transaction. And I'm sure there'll be many more good news stories and cases such as this that you guys will be able to speak about at Consortia 2019. So Consortia 2019 by BCR is the first event of kind where key consortiums will be together under one roof, giving the opportunity to find out about what they're offering, how they differ from each other, and what their plans are for the future. So, Roberta, over to you. What are you most looking forward to at Consortia this May?
Well, I like the title. I'm glad that we participate to the event. I think it's an important one. It's called Consortia. As I said at the beginning, I mean, I think Consortia is definitely beneficial, especially in an industry like this, or in technology, sorry, like this, because of the benefits that the consortia brings. As I said, the sharing costs, the ability to create unified industrial standard, the advantage of scales. So we have seen more and more consortia developing in the last few years. We were a consortia until March 2018. And now, even though people still call us consortia, we're a legal entity with the banks, which are shareholders and not just members of consortium anymore. And that brings, obviously, liability, governance, rules, capital increases, return on investment, budget, and so forth. So what I'm trying to say is that I think the consortia, and it's good that the event, there will be several examples of them. A successful consortia is dependent upon level of collaboration, agreement across a myriad of complex business and technology, right? There are architectural decision involved, governance decision involved, business model involved, significant challenges for all of these components. We have been a successful consortium because we were able to mature enough to move from consortia to legal entity. But I think this is a big challenge for many consortia. And this is always my suggestion, start as a consortia, but then shift to a legal entity. Right? So it's absolutely valuable at the beginning, but you cannot have consortia forever. The consortia that will be winners are the one that really put a lot of energy, effort, sometimes headaches also, to move from a consortia to a legal entity. But those are the ones that, of course, are doomed to be the leaders in the driving of this technological change.
Very interesting. Perhaps consortia might not be the best title for the conference. So without further ado, Roberto, Daniela, thank you very much for joining us today. We really look forward to hearing you in May.
Looking forward.
Trade Finance Global have partnered up with Consortia 2019 to give our listeners an exclusive 10% off the event on the 21st and 22nd of May here in London. Simply use the discount codes TFG2019 or visit tradefinanceglobal.com for more information. We look forward to seeing you in May alongside many of the key players in bank consortiums, including WeTrade, Marco Polo, Comgo, and Voltron.
Thanks for listening to Trade Finance Talks. Be sure to subscribe to our podcasts at tradefinanceglobal.com.